Hallelujah. I'm back. Yeah, so this process has changed my whole life. I was probably the most abject failure as a Christian, and I was doing everything I had to do. I was praying, I was fasting, I was living at the church, I was on every helps committee known to man, and yet I had horrible lack of victory in every area, and I couldn't grasp why, and I was looking in all the wrong places for the solution, but the solution was wrong understanding of the word. And when I figured out the process, you know, God began to teach me. He said to me one day, I was walking down the hall in my house, he said, I've laid out a system in my word, actually many systems, and I'm not changing it for you. And I went, okay. See, a system, am I going too long? You guys okay? All right. One example of a system is, we know that if we want the mailman to pick up a letter, we have to put it in the box and raise the flag before he comes. That's the system. If you go out at 8 at night and you stick it in there, you can't stand there at 11 and cry and go, that mailman didn't follow the system. It's not going to work. And so God began to show me that there's reasons in the word why sometimes we fail. And here's what I learned. Here's the upshot of the whole thing. God is never the problem. His promises are always true. If he has said something belongs to you as a believer and you don't see it, it's not necessarily you. It may be the devil just trying to kill you because you are godly or because you're called, right? That happens. It may be someone in your life has made some poor decisions and you're having to deal with that. But many times it's us. So as we've been talking, I want to do a little exercise. And sometimes, you know, I notice you guys tend to sit on your hands a lot. Just saying. But as we've been talking, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that there's a few of you that went, oh, I think I have believed a lie. And so, and here's what I found. When one person believes a lie, usually there's at least 10 other people that are believing the same lie. And so we just want to do an exercise to get rid of them because it's so simple. Is there anyone here that went, oh, I think I, and the first guy is always the most important because once somebody has the courage, then anybody want to, yeah. Your hand was up.
Yeah, I heard that I'd been asked when I was little, why are you so troublesome? And I believed it.
Okay. And how has, we talked about this a little bit, how has that manifested in your life?
If I speak up, I feel badly later.
Okay. Okay.
I have trouble, so it's lots of manifestations, and I've worked around it and asked, you know, I've learned to ask God, what is the lie I believed and what is the truth that is real?
Okay. So you've probably dealt with that one, right? Have you dealt with it?
No, actually, this is the last time you spoke.
Okay.
I asked God, like, talking, I said, well, God, and then boom, here came the answer. So I'm kind of dealing with it now.
Okay. Quick thing, I'm going to ask the Father for the words. I'm going to have you say Father, and if anybody else has that one, that's an unusual one, but if anyone else has it, you're free to say this. Father, if I have believed that I'm the problem or I'm troublesome,
if that has caused me to hold back,
I repent.
In the name of Jesus,
I renounce that lie. And I embrace the truth of the word.
Lord, when you give me a word to speak,
I will no longer hold back.
I will not see it as trouble.
I will see it as the solution.
In Jesus' name.
Now, it's interesting because when you do, the first thing that hears you is your emotion. One day I was on the phone with somebody and I had them, the Lord told me to have them speak to their mind, will, and emotions. And I thought, is that scriptural? But I know the voice of God, so I had them do it. They got free. At the end, I went, God, was that scriptural? He said, haven't you read? David, when he said, why so downcast, O my soul, put your hope in God. He was telling his soul how to feel.
Yes.
And you can do that because your emotions were meant to serve you. You were not meant to serve your emotions. You know, your emotions, if you let them, will lead you around by the nose and into all kinds of, right? So anyone else? Do you have something that popped up?
That I messed up so bad relationally. That I've messed up so bad relationally with my adult kids that there's no hope for the wonderful family that I would dearly love to have.
Okay. And so here's a case where we know that God can do the impossible. And here's what I love. Even when we have screwed it up so bad it can't be fixed, he still fixes it. Amen.
Amen.
And he's in that process. So we're gonna yeah. deal with that. So I'm going to have you say, in the name of Jesus. Father, I bring this before you.
I have believed
that I destroyed
the hope of my happy
family.
That I blew it too bad.
And that it's unfixable.
But that conflicts with your word.
That says all things are possible with God.
All things are possible to him who believes.
So, Father, I acknowledge that this is a lie I believed.
Satan, I'm calling you out.
That's a lie.
I'm exposing it.
I renounce that lie today.
And today I choose
to embrace the word of God
that says with God,
all things are possible.
Father, I believe
that though I can't restore my family,
you can,
and you will,
and you're going to,
because
you're truly good.
In Jesus' name.
Now, did anybody feel some lifting?
Yeah,
sometimes we've seen like a person, would feel like 2,000 pounds of mud just slid away. Right? Because now they don't have to, you're not in bondage to that lie anymore. Anybody else have something you want to deal with? I know there's some goodies in here. Okay.
Don't be embarrassed. Believe me. Yeah. Believe me. We've had roomfuls where somebody went, and then everybody's like, oh, me too.
So, really, nobody has any? Okay. Thank you.
Sister of mine discerned that when I was in the womb, that's not exactly right. She discerned that some of my issues with abandonment and with, I guess it's mainly abandonment. I was going to say betrayal, maybe that too, but abandonment mainly was because of some things that happened. I was the third child. My parents had a son and daughter. It was during the Depression, and the third one wasn't planned for, which was me. And of course, I loved what you said.
Yeah.
God planned for all of us, and so I have seen that. But that began a cycle in my life with people leaving me. You know, different things as I started to grow,
yeah.
And I see it, just like Deborah said. She's understanding now, but it's when anybody will leave, it still targets at that spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's always go to the root.
Yeah.
Because what you're describing is a whole bunch of symptoms. Is this the root? Do you still have some belief that you were not wanted?
Yes, I guess. Well.
Or maybe a better way to say it is that you are not wanted. Is there anything in your soul that makes you feel like God or the church or your family?
I believe so, that maybe lack of value, lack of something.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know what it is.
Well, right now we're going to ask, here's what I do. If I'm not sure, sometimes I can tell something's wrong, but I don't know what it is. So I ask the Lord to make it like a billboard. Make it so clear. Show me the lie and show me the truth. Mm-hmm.
Show me what the word says and show me what I'm believing, because that's the root and all the other stuff is attached, okay? It's like the hook, yeah. So, Father, right now I'm going to ask you to reveal to her or me or one of us, and usually it comes in the form of a phrase. Sometimes people will hear a phrase, can be a few words, but that's a window to what's going on in your soul. I'm kind of feeling like I never was wanted, and so people keep leaving. Does that bear any witness?
And I've even thought it was pride, but why I need to be affirmed.
Again, a symptom.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a symptom. And I think everybody has that.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
We all have some of that. We all deal with it anyway.
Okay. So.
So let's wait on that. I'm going to ask Father to raise if there's anything that we want to get rid of today. And we don't have to if you're not comfortable or if you really just don't know. But if you ask an honest question of God, he'll give you an honest answer. Like if you're having any problem or any symptom behaviorally, you say, Lord, why? I fought something. I don't know if I told this story. I had a problem for 8 years, and I could not seem to get free. I just tried everything I knew. I couldn't get rid of it. I did all the fasting, praying, yelling. I did everything I knew, and finally I did what I should have done in the first place, and I sat down in frustration. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? And he told me one sentence, and when he told me that sentence, I went, oh, and I got free in about 30 seconds, and it never happened again. So, I'm just going to have you quietly ask all of you, just, Lord, is there something you're trying to show me? Is there a lie I've believed that has caused these problems? Let me ask this. I did hear from that from the Lord. I heard I was never wanted. Is there anybody else? Did I hear that for someone else? Because I did hear that.
Is that you?
Okay. And has that, okay. Has that caused problems later in life? I'm seeing yes.
Decades.
Okay. Decades. Okay. Okay, so Father, I'm going to ask you to give us the words, and we're going to get rid of that, because here's what we do know. You wanted us. People don't always get it. Even our parents don't always get it. They don't know who we are. Maybe they weren't ready. But you ordained us, and you not only ordained us, you ordained us exactly at the time and place where you wanted us to be. And you brought us forth, and you were so delighted. And so, Father, we're going to trade that in. So I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm bringing it before you,
that
I never felt like I was wanted. But I see today
that
you wanted me with all your heart.
You
designed me.
And
in your eyes, I was perfection.
In
the womb, I was knit together.
The
number of my days
was
written in your book
before
one of them came to
be.
So I'm bringing that lie that I was never wanted
to the foot of the cross,
where the blood of Jesus Christ drips upon it
and destroys it.
I am wanted.
God loves me.
My Father loves me.
No
matter what kind of day I'm having.
I was ordained by God.
In Jesus' name. Anybody get a release on that? A little bit?
Yeah.
Well, I was told I was a third girl, and my dad wanted boys. And so after me, he divorced my mom to remarry someone else.
Yeah.
Where I had three more
girls. Oh,
well, we're very thankful for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, because poor him, God bless him.
Yeah.
We love him and we forgive him, we bless him, but he just didn't know what a treasure he had.
Yeah.
So the problem isn't yours. It's kind of his. It was his loss. And, you know, because sometimes people
well,
just don't know. Okay, well, we know the Father considers you a treasure.
Yes.
Okay, and you, and you. And yeah.
Other people's words are stirring things up.
Okay.
My mother once said that she had two daughters and I was the third, and she used to introduce me to people as her boy.
Okay.
And that, I mean, that's an identity thing.
It is.
So, and then that, so I had all these things, so I felt like
sure.
I felt like I had to keep my true self really secret.
Right.
Because if everybody knew who I really was, certainly nobody would like me. And
yeah.
You know, I honestly find it the opposite to be true, but still that would lie with something I had to deal with.
Okay. Do you feel like that's been fully dealt with?
No.
This is a big thing. This is a big thing. I can so relate to this. Mine wasn't exactly like that, but, you know, my dad yelled at me for being too sensitive at 5, and so I went, okay, and I became what everybody wanted. And how many have ever done that? Yeah. And I shared this with one person, but I feel like I'm supposed to share this publicly. Some time ago, well, years, I woke up out of a sleep and I saw a picture of, it was really strange, it was a woman, she had strawberry blonde hair, she had like blue eyes, you know, pale skin, and as I looked at her face, I saw this crack start to happen. I thought, what am I seeing, God? And pretty soon this mask came off with the hair, and I was looking at a woman with brown eyes and brown hair. And I thought, what in the world? And so I was working, and I was on my lunch hour driving in the car, and I said, what was that? He said, for self-protection, you've worn a mask all these years. But it's time to take that mask off. Because the real you needs to come forth. Because the body needs you, the real you. You know, the body needs whoever you are. The body needs you. You're part of the body, and it's important. So, I'm asking, it's a little hard to do this in a crowd when it's one-on-one, you can, you know, be more specific, but I'm going to ask the Lord for the words, because I think a bunch of us probably need to deal. This goes back to what we were talking about the other day with labels and false identities. Mm-hmm. If people labeled you, or you labeled you, or people called you something, or said something about you, and especially that one, that gender one, is that's so damaging, right? In fact, I'll tell you, a punchline of mine with that whole gender thing, because I thought my dad, you know, he wanted me to be tough and stoic, and I told you I stuffed all my emotions. I think I told you that the other day. But what I didn't tell you was I knew I was called to ministry. I went to a church where women did not minister. And so I felt like I was in the second class railroad car, but only people in the first class car could preach. So I disqualified myself, and I was hurt because I thought, why did you make me a woman then? Just being honest. And I was wounded because I thought, why would God call me to do this? And here, you can't get rid of it when it's in you. You can't make it go away. I tried. But what am I supposed to do with this if women aren't supposed to preach? And God did all that to help me see I had mislabeled myself, you know? Tomboy, tough, I can handle it, stoic, don't show your emotions, don't have emotions. And so when I saw it, I repented, and I said, Father, if you made me a woman, you know exactly what you're doing.
Amen.
And you knew, you made me a woman, and that's what I'm supposed to be. So I thank you for it, and I give it to you, and you're going to handle it. And I'm telling you something, I got free. So let's deal with, I think there's two different things. Has anybody ever been misgendered? Or called, you know, you should have been this, I wanted that, blah, blah, blah. Anybody else? Okay. Do you feel like you were? Like you were? No? Okay. So I'm going to have a say, you especially, I'm going to have you say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I thank you, Lord, that you made me the gender I am. You are perfect. Everything you do is right. And you knew what you were doing. So I'm going to rejoice in it. And I'm going to fully enjoy being the person you created. In Jesus' name. Now let's deal with the identity or the mask thing. If you're a person that's hidden who you really are because you were trying to conform or trying not to stir the waters or make trouble, then I'm going to have us say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I'm so sorry that I took on any false identity. And if I refused the good identity you gave me, I'm sorry. I want to fully embrace the person you made me to be. I may not even fully understand who that is yet. But one thing I know, you don't make junk. And when I was born again, you gave me a new me. And that's holy. So I embrace that identity. Lord, show me who I really am. And give me the freedom to become fully me. So that I can help others. In Jesus' name. Is other stuff coming to the surface, or?
Can I speak one more time?
Yeah, sure.
About 3 years ago, I asked my Heavenly Father to begin to parent me. And he did. And when I would come into a personal relationship with him, I was about 8. And I'd sit behind his throne and play, and he'd put his hand on my head. And another vision I had was I was going out and playing, and he'd follow me around, and I'd pick up all this stuff. And when I got my hands too full, I'd come and ask him if he'd hold it for me. And he'd take it, and he'd put it in a pocket somewhere. And when I went to sleep at night, he'd come in my room and he'd put everything away for me. And lots of stuff like that. He began parenting me. And I was his page. And he'd send me on messages to other people. And he does this all the time. And I would go out and I would tell them what God was telling me about them. It was always good. It was just encouraging. And then I'd go back to him. And then I'd walk someplace and he'd give me a download for somebody, and I'd go out. So it was my father began to parent me, and it began to renew what I was supposed to be from the beginning. Does that make sense?
It not only makes sense, I think he's bringing it out because some people in here have had that parenting got cut. You love God with all your heart, so there's no condemnation at all. You love him with everything you have, but you've never been able to relate to him as your papa. You've never felt his hand on your head or really known that you were accepted in the throne room. And God wants to heal that today. And that may be because you thought he didn't want to, that which is a lie that you believed, or it may be because you just didn't know how to have those encounters. So Father, I'm going to ask you by the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, I ask you to fill the people of God. I ask you to do two things. One is show any lie that's been believed that we need to deal with. And the other is to give such a revelation, not head knowledge, but a deep, heartfelt revelation of the love of God. I want them to see God's arms are open wide. And where God wants you is in his lap. If God had his way, see, because he's spirit and he's so powerful, he can't do this or it'd kill us. But what he really wants is to hold us and hug us and love us, because that's how he feels about his kids. So if you can do it, I want you to imagine being in the Father's lap with his big, huge arms holding you. It doesn't matter where you've been or where you've walked or what you've done. He loves you. And he has only good for you. And so I take authority over every lying spirit that has tried to steal this relationship from God's people. There's a man in here, you feel like, I'm a guy, I have to be tough. And the Father says, I made you to be tough, but when you're with me, you're my little one. When you're with me, you're my son. I'm so proud of you. You have no idea how proud of you I am as your father. That I watch you, I see your heart. I love you. I have always loved you. And your earthly father may not have always understood how to say things or how to be kind. He may not have always known, but I have always known you. And I have always known the man you would become. And you're a man's man. And I'm so, so, so proud of you. You're my very own. I wouldn't trade you. Wouldn't trade you. I saw someone, this is a bit strange, but I saw someone like a baby in the father's arms who's so proud. I mean, he just was doting on this baby. And I don't know why, but this little baby had a pacifier. And he was just loving on this child. And I feel like he's saying to at least one person, I'm taking you back to the beginning of our relationship. And I'm going to teach you how to be a child because you never really got to be one. You were never allowed. It was not okay. You had to be an adult from like five. You were just expected to be an adult. And God says, that was never my plan. I love kids. And I love for kids to be kids. And you're my kid. And so we're going back to day one. I'm going to teach you how to fellowship with me like little kids do. I'm going to teach you the joy of the Lord. We're going to have fun together. We're going to enjoy each other. We're going to laugh and talk. We're going to play games. We're going to go to the meadow. We're going to fellowship. I'm going to teach you how to fellowship with me. I have always loved you. You just didn't fully know it. Sometimes God says a phrase to me, and the phrase goes like this, give yourself permission. Because sometimes God wants something for us, but we stop it because we don't give ourselves permission. Give yourself permission to be loved by God. Give yourself permission to be imperfect. Give yourself permission that humans make mistakes and God helps us fix them. Give yourself permission to just be friends with him, be close to him, be loved by him. Give yourself permission not to be always the one that's last. I see someone hanging outside like, oh, I don't know if I could do it. But he misses you. God wants you right in the center. I'm hearing that song. Enter into the Holy of Holies. Enter in by the blood of the Lamb. I don't know all the words, but I'm hearing that. And God is calling us to come in and live with him and hang out with him and be a kid again. God is actually a lot of fun. God invented your sense of humor. You know, someone without a sense of humor can't invent a sense of humor. God is a lot of fun. And he wants you to know fellowship as a family member, okay? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, I love you.
Hallelujah.
God loves you. Well, see, the announcement lady is here.